spring with Holden, Australia's own car. See the luxurious Holden Special Sedan with gay new color styling, rich new interior trims. Best of all, take a test run in this quality car. Holden Special Sedan gives you more for your money this spring or at any season of the year. Swing into spring. Drive Holden today.
Another vintage Holden ad. Wonderful. But sad, I suppose, on a day like this, the nostalgia that is created when you start to think about this. And an abstract discussion about the disappearance of the car industry in Australia starts to become real. It drew a huge response from our leaders today in federal parliament, also at the state level. Here, for example, is the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill, responding to news that Holden's going to stop making cars.
And the responsibility for this lies firmly at the feet of Tony Abbott and his coalition ministers, who had decided to make a policy choice not to support the continuation of Holdens in the country, and then dishonestly sought to shift responsibility for that to Holdens itself. Now, the social and economic cost of this decision will be enormous in South Australia and indeed the nation. And the federal government will have a massive price to pay.
Huge issue in South Australia, of course, because of the centrality of the car manufacturing industry to that state. An independent senator from that state is a man by the name of Nick Xenophon, who you will know very well. He joins me now. Nick, thank you very much for your time. Do you accept, firstly, just in political terms, that argument that this is really the fault of the federal government?
Look, I think from my point of view, the blame game isn't going to help people get jobs in 3 or 4 years' time, and it's not just about Holden. It's about the component manufacturers, and early today in Canberra I had a press conference with DLP Victorian Senator John Madigan, along with Jim Griffin, who's the president of the Federation of Australian of Automotive Products Manufacturers, who basically said there's a future for the auto industry in this country. The problem is this: if Holden goes, the whole supply chain collapses. Toyota will find it increasingly difficult to survive here in Australia, and most of the jobs in the auto industry, the close to 50,000 direct jobs, are tied up with component manufacturers. So I think in terms of blame, I think Joe Hockey made a very bad call not to at least stump up the money that the Rudd government wanted to stump up for the auto industry. But I think it has been successive governments that a number of bad decisions have been made, but it is what it is. Mike Devereux, the CEO of Holden, rang me earlier today and said this is an irreversible decision, so we have to accept that and we have to actually go forward from here and how to minimise the damage caused to the economies around Australia, particularly in South Australia and Victoria.
Well, I'm a little unclear what you think the consequence is going to be then, because you said that you've had meetings and that there's a sense that manufacturing does have a future in Australia, but then on the other hand, you said that Toyota's response, which I think does paint a grim picture, it suggests very much that they're going to have to reconsider greatly after Holden's announcement, suggests that car manufacturing is on the way out. So what do you think is actually going to happen?
Well, look, the situation is that you need more than one manufacturer for there to be critical mass in the component manufacturing industry. And that's where most of the jobs are, and there is a significant multiplier effect. And I know the industry today, the component manufacturers, talking of a multiplier of at least four. So we're looking at potentially an impact on upwards of 170,000 plus jobs. I think what has to happen now is we need to see, are there other manufacturers that want to come into this country, whether it's Tata, for instance, from India. There's Magna Steyr out of Austria who assemble cars, to minimise the impact. And also, do we need to actually revisit what we're doing about automotive and manufacturing? Do we need to actually say, do we look at a premium brand? Because what has been an absolute killer for the car industry, for manufacturing in this country, is the artificially high Australian dollar.
Well, right. So my question to you is, leaving national pride aside, if you're a car maker from Austria, for example, from pretty much anywhere in the world, and you're looking to manufacture overseas, can you give me a single good reason? No, you need more than one. A couple of good reasons why you would choose Australia over a much cheaper manufacturing centre in Asia?
Well, I can give you lots of good reasons, more than one, more than two, a number of them. Firstly, we have a skilled workforce here that is world class. Secondly, we have the infrastructure here, not just in terms of being able to build cars, but all the attendant component manufacturers. I mean, I've been to see these component manufacturers, SMR, for instance, in Adelaide, that produces the side mirrors for the F-250 trucks that go all the way to the United States. I mean, we do produce quality, innovative stuff using cutting-edge technology. And also, if you've got the infrastructure here, if you've got the skilled workforce, then surely, rather than trying to compete with cheap imports from Thailand or Korea, we actually need to look at a premium brand or a premium car where the value of the dollar won't be as determinative in terms of the success of this industry.
What, so you fund it with subsidies that are determined according to the exchange rate or something?
Well, that could be one factor, or you go to a premium brand. I mean, I think this is going to be difficult. It's going to be tough, but we shouldn't give up on manufacturing motor vehicles in this country, because if we do, then we're signing off all these jobs that are attendant on car manufacturing in this country. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. All I'm saying is that we shouldn't give up hope, because the component manufacturers were talking to me about trying to bring in, with a concerted effort, other manufacturers in this country.
We did some interesting analysis on the program in the last hour, looking at these internationally, at car manufacturing. And the analyst we're talking to, Andrew Horden from IMA Asia, said, look, if you look at all the car manufacturing centres, the only ones that are growing now are places like China and Thailand, where labour costs are very cheap. Even centres like South Korea, Japan, the European centres, even those ones in South Korea, he said car manufacturing, the labour cost was half of ours. Even that is not enough to keep car manufacturing growing in that country, in South Korea. So if that's true, isn't there an inevitability about this for us?
Well, I don't think so, because that's premised on the basis that that labour costs are the most significant factor. According to the parts manufacturers, they say it's in the order of 13% in terms of labour costs for the costs of an Australian-made car. Others say it's as high as 16%. But it still is very much a minority cost in terms of what it costs to assemble a car in Australia. Sure, if there are ways to improve productivity, but you know, we're not talking about the wholesale slashing of wages and conditions.
No, but
for
perhaps it's the most flexible cost. So that's actually where you can make your savings.
Well, let's say a 10% reduction, which is still a big call for people's salaries to be cut 10%. I'm not suggesting that.
No, I understand.
But based on the higher figure of 16%, that's 1.6%. You're looking at electricity costs, which are much higher than in other countries, which I think more can be done. And we're not just talking about the carbon tax. We're talking about incredibly high network charges, the gold plating of our networks, which itself would be a significant input factor. But there's another issue that was raised by the automotive parts manufacturers today. They made the point that when you look at what other countries are doing, we've signed all these free trade agreements with Thailand, just signed one with South Korea, looking at one with China. How many Australian cars have been shipped there? The answer is practically zero, despite the fact we've had a free trade agreement with China, with Thailand rather. The cost of sending a Ford Territory, a good car, a great car, worth $38,000 to $40,000 here in Australia, retail. In Thailand, because of non-tariff barriers, it costs $100,000. There is something seriously wrong with some of these free trade agreements, where other countries wouldn't cop it in terms of just allowing either a flood of cheap imports or making it difficult for our cars to be exported to the world.
Nick Xenophon, it's a big issue in your state. I thank you very much for your time and your reflections. That's the Independent Senator for South Australia, Nick Xenophon.